Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good morning. And you are tuning in to live radio vlog talk broadcast of Past Generation Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, a member of the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is Pastor Robert I. Sanders II. This program is also in conjunction with The Word is Right, that is also governed with and associated and affiliated with The Word is Right under District Superintendent Pastor Robert I. Sanders II. I tell you, it is a blessing to be back. It has been a busy, 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 busy time. You just don't have time for me to tell you what is really going on. But until then, I want to be able to give a holler out to District Superintendent Pastor Robert I. Sanders, Stockelberg and Housing Organization. They have been working entirely trying to get things over there ordered pretty much together for those who are in problems with their home. And I wanted to make a couple of announcements. Oh, my goodness. We had an exciting time. Just to recap for a little bit, we within Fellowship Outreach Ministry completed a successful first annual community business exposition. We hosted none other than yours, Lady Jamika Shoshana, who is the fashion designer for the show, the hit television series, Fox series, Empire, where she does a lot of cookie clothes. Yes, I got me a top and whatnot. So we appreciate Lady Jamika Shoshana. I got a long list of stuff I want from her. I've mailed it to her, and thank you for your contribution to Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry. You are blessed, Lady Jamika Shoshana, and all of the visitors that were there that participated, Diva Styles Boutique, Mary Kay, Kayson Booker and his T-shirt, also It Works, as well as Nikki Naomi had her own Purple Love Naturals bath salt of different types of remedies that you need, as well as South Suburban Housing. We had a good standout. We did pull some pictures, but we thank God for the first annual Community Business Expo. Also coming up June 17th, July 8th, and July 15th, Redeemed Fellowship is bringing back the Power of Grant Writing, which will be conducted and taught by your very own Apostle Bridget the Outlaw of Daughters of Destiny. That closed classes are coming back And the cost for all three classes in order for you to get a certification is $225. Registration is now open. Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry will also be hosting on that same day outside the Church of Flea Market. So anyone that is interested in coming by and getting a lot of things that you need, you are welcome to stop by 860 East 75th Street, the corner of 75th and Drexel, Chicago. And we will be there as early as 9 o'clock to open the doors for the people. And we will be working with the church next door, which is New Life Missionary Baptist Church, where Pastor Ellis and his wife, Minister Ellis, will be joining forces as well. We talk about reaching the community. We don't care about the denomination. We're about reaching the community, as well as, guess what? Redeemed Fellowship will be opening up their brand new school entitled the Redeemed Fellowship Bible Biblical Institute. Classes start on September and last all the way through December, and you have to take 4 classes in order to receive your first foundational certificate. We'll be having Growing Towards Spiritual Maturity, Old Testament Survey, Pastor Church and Law, and Church Protocol. So we are on the move. Yes, God is blessing. This morning, I want to have a word with you all. I'm in the process of writing my memoir entitled, I'm not going to give you a title because somebody can turn around and take it right quick. But I'm seeing things as being a pastor's wife for 7 years. And before then, just being an Adventist missionary, working and doing the work of the Lord in the church. But I've noticed a lot of things that I would think that when you become a certain age, you would already know. When I grew up, my family, as many of you always heard me say, my family came from Dad Mason, which is the founder of the Church of God in Christ, Bishop Charles Harrison Mason. And they taught us about being dedicated to God, to his word, and the way that we're supposed to live as being believers. There was no Christian stuff. You were either sanctified or you weren't. You learn how to go to Sunday school. You were taught how to, we didn't do what they do now, come when you want to. We were in Sunday school, had church all day on Sunday, and then we had what they called prayer Bible band or home informed mission on Tuesdays, and then sometimes the past Bible class an hour before the band classes. That way you can be in Bible class and be in everything at one time. And then you have Friday night service. You were there till about midnight, and then the rotation go every Sunday the same thing. So that was a part of what you did. Then you came every Sunday. You were on time. So you can be a part of it. One thing about being a member of your local church, you have the ability to be a part of something. If you don't come to church, you don't really know what's going on. And then when you don't know what's going on, then you'll feel that people are not being reachable to you. Well, yeah, they are, but it's that they don't really know you because you're not reachable. A lot of laity tend to take on their own idea, or they create their own agenda to circle around. Now, I do remember a lot of ministers back in the day in other churches, Pentecostal churches, they would do their witnessing or outreach before they went to Sunday school. That was a way of reaching the community and witnessing to the souls. And then they would bring them to church, introduce them to the pastor, his wife, and the congregants, and, sometimes they would feed you, But I know now the times have changed. And I know that some things remain, other things don't. Some things will change. It's a part of life. But one thing that I was not taught was to just have what I want to do on Sunday, and then I think about church later and things like that. I've seen that happen when I was in the church. I was at every meeting in the Church of God in Christ. You had to be at a state or district meeting, and you couldn't do no district work unless you did your local church work. If you were successful in doing that and following that trend, then you would go to the district level. You would be recommended to read a scripture or recommended to do a brief sermonette or facilitate over the offering if you're asked. Your pastor could vouch for you to be able to do things. If you're faithful to the district and then you're faithful to your local church and your district, then it saw you and they saw you all the time, they would ask, oh, can so-and-so, we would like to meet. And they will go to the pastor to get recommendations. If you are in good standing, then the pastor say, yeah, brother so-and-so, missionary so-and-so, deacon so-and-so, deaconess so-and-so, elder so-and-so, minister so-and-so. Yeah, sure, that's not a problem. They would let them know, and that's how they're done. So you couldn't just do local and go to the state. And then turn around and just do district and go to the state and forget the local. That's not the way that works. So now I see visually in a lot of churches, this is going on. I don't have to be, but as long as I have a title. See, your title that was given to you is optional. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to take it. But if someone looks to see that there is something in you, that meant that they took a gamble. You as that person to serve in a position. But if you can't follow the basic strategy of following and building your local church, then there's no way in the world you can survive in the state, in the national, because you don't give respect to the local church. That is what I've been seeing, and I'm still seeing it every time I look up. We can go visit churches. I can see people that never been around. Oh, and then other people say, oh, well, you know, she barely comes to church on Sunday. You may see her once every other month. But then they want to go run up and stay. That ain't going to follow. So my whole thing is I wanted to share some things because even in my book, I talked about this in my first book, which I'm in the process of reproducing again. I took it out of print this time. I'm not. I'm going to hit on areas, including newer things, because we've changed into another technology. My book was published 17 years ago, and I talked about basic church etiquette, and I talked about the dedication to your local church. One thing about my former Jewish diction, and my pastors will tell you, Katrina was at Sunday school. Katrina was at service. She was at all of the services, and then when the district asked me to do something, I was there. And then I was asked to sing on the praise team with the state praise team or whatever, because I'm there. But when you come to your local church and you are missing and you are hitting, you can't be recommended. And then when you want to do something, your pastor is going to count up the cost of what did you do. Being a local member of a local church gives you a lot of stability. It teaches you the basic foundation of a lot of things. That means you feel a part of that. When you're not a part of something, you ain't nowhere in the world you can go on Facebook bragging about it because you weren't a part of it. What are you going to say? Oh, well, they had this, but I. But it's not about being you are not promoted that then the church can't support you. Now, let's go and look at some things right quick to where it talks about your responsibilities as a church member. And this is taken from the Gospel Coalition, one of the very renowned organizations that I'm in contact with, and they made some vital points. And it says here, when you hear the words church government, what do you think? Members meeting, elder board room, fight on the budget or color of the carpet. Too often it can seem that way. Your church government should involve so much more. In fact, it should tie into the everyday life of the church. And everyone has a role to play. I recall when I was going before my license 17 years ago, the first thing that you had to get in order to be an aspiring missionary, you had to get the church mother's permission and the pastor. Because the church mother is the oldest mother in the church that watch everything that you do. So now from that point on, you had to go through that. And once you signed off on it, then they would take you to it. Well, the church got a price to speak about this. I don't know about how PAW and everybody else denomination, but I was talking about the church got a price. So in here, basically, you have to get that letter of recommendation to be given to the state mother. But it went through your pastor, the church mother, which was given to the district missionary, who approved it, the superintendent, and it went to the state supervisor and the bishop. That's how that's set up. A lot of times I say this in my local church. You say you've been a member of the Church of God of Christ, but let me tell you something. I don't care how many classes that you might have taken as far as the history of Dad Mason when he was stricken with scarlet fever. That is not the history of the Church of God of Christ, testimony, and the life of our founder. There are other books that you're not entitled to have that let you know if you know this church. So a lot of people can say, oh, I've been 45 years, 35 years, 25 years, or 18 years. I don't know. No, you don't. I challenge you, because because if I start throwing stuff at you with articles and sections, and you sit there looking at me like I'm crazy, you're going to be like, wait a minute, what's that? That's the Church of God in Christ. So my whole thing is, when you say you know your denomination or whatever church you're a part of, don't be so quick to say you know this church, because when you do, you basically don't understand the how this church is operated and the protocol and the procedures which follows. So let's go back to that. Do you know, or do you know ordinary church members, that Jesus has given you a job? You elders have a special office, to be sure. So do you. And Jesus has given you elders in order to train you to do your job. And that's just as a local member. In order for you to build to the next level, you have to be trained. But if someone trusts you with a level because they assume and you abuse it, then that lets them know that they made a big mistake. And that can sometimes be because your heart is more so over than spiritual walk. And that is a lot of times, and we're all guilty of that. Assigning people to an office and they just don't, they flip flop. They do what they want to do. They make all kinds of excuses, or they come up with their own agenda, or they have a whole dialogue about a dog and the cat fell out the window, or, you know, choo-choo train ran over the toy tanker. And I mean, it's always something. So now it becomes conflicting. So as a church member, you got to know and understand what our rules are to be in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is a single member of job, what responsibilities come with this job? There are at least seven. One, attend church regularly. You, as a baptized believer and ordinary member of a church, are responsible to attend church regularly. Scripture could not be clearer about this fundamental responsibility, so that you can give yourself to love and good works and encouragement. Go to Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, and some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The author threatens final judgment if you do not attend in 26:27. The stakes are high indeed. After all, if you do not attend, attendance makes everything else possible. So now, if I'm an elder, well, we don't do elders in the church, but it wasn't about. If I'm an elder and I come when I want to, then come right before service let out, what have I learned for that day? I got a half a message. I'm coming in on the tail end of things, and I'm doing other things. Now, granted, let me say this. Because actually, this topic had been long overdue. I was supposed to talk about this back in February. But if you're working a regular job, honestly, not lying, not covering up, not pretending, and you can't come on Sunday, because there are people that do work a job on Sundays from 5 to 1, 6 to 2, 7 to 3, 8 to 4, 9 to 5, 10 to 6. And that's an understanding. Because what happened in the older days, I remember in my home church, that a lot of people that worked on Sundays, they would send their tithes and offerings, or they would drop it off, or at the next meeting at church, they would leave there because it wasn't going to be there to let the pastor know. They didn't wait till Sunday morning to want to call him while he's getting ready to preach. You know, I mean, that's very, to me, I'm going to be honest with you, because in my book, I talked about that, about calling the pastor on the day of, you know, unless you're in a car accident or rush to the emergency room, that's something different. But simple things that literally could have been told before then, that shows disrespect, that shows unconcern, and that means I'm going to do what I want to do because of who I am. That is what causes your blessings to be hindered. And that's one of the things that we look at now, because people feel, well, I can do what I want to do. Well, yeah, you do. You have a choice. But don't place your membership somewhere and you're not going to be faithful to that position. Us being just a local member. I'm not talking about no titles. I'm talking about being a member. Because when you place your membership at a church, then that means you are allowing that leader to give you and impart into you those things that you need in a spiritual area to feed you. But if you're playing that hit and missing, then something is generally wrong somewhere. Maybe you need to redefine what's really going on in your life. I didn't allow to sit up and allow my personal life to mandate my walk with God. At the time I was married, I had 5 children. When that man decided he didn't want no family no more, messing around with somebody else, causing division, I just like, oh my God, he left me with these kids and I can't go to church, I can't work, I just, oh, life is over with. I did not do that. I promise you, I picked up my bootstraps. I said, life is going to keep on going because the world will keep on going round and round in circles. So my thing is, I worked 2 or 3 jobs, went to school, went to church. I hit every meeting. I still kept my life going. I still kept things going on. I didn't stop. Oh, my God. He left me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I wasn't cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I went on and did what I had to do because I had children I had to feed. So my thing was, I said, well, God, I'm going to still make my time with you, going to church, being there, because I needed that strength to help me to get through the divorce. I joined the Chicago Mass Choir, praise too, and I joined a lot of, musical community choirs, trying to get my mind off of that outside of church. So it kept my mind busy, me busy. You know, some of the songs we sung were very spiritual and uplifting. So the thing about it is that when I came to church on Sunday, I couldn't wait to get there. There are many times my grown children will tell you right now, we sat outside the door, waiting on the pastor to come open the door. When Sunday school was starting at a certain time, he come 20, 30 minutes later. I'm like, Lord, when we are ever going to get to the point where we're going to be on time? I'm like, everybody be late for their funeral. We all be here for a rude awakening. So when you attend the church, you are supporting that ministry. You are giving support because you love God and you respect your leader. But to disrespect your leader is to be selfish and not be in tune. Number 2, help preserve the gospel. You, as a baptized believer and ordained, an ordinary member of a church, you are responsible for protecting and preserving the gospel and the gospel's ministry in your church. Think about Paul's amazement in Galatians 1. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning into a different gospel. And in verse 6, there's the members and tells them to reject even apostles or angels who teach a false gospel. That's another thing. You have a leader, a pastor that teaches the truth, but you render to him disrespect with your own actions. Come late, don't even know what it's about. And now with technology, most churches air on YouTube or they air on their own website, things like that. But the thing of it is that what did you get out of a half message? Because you don't even know what the first part of message was. You missed all that. So now, what does it mean that you already studied the gospel and know it? Can you summarize the gospel in 60 seconds or less? Can you explain the relationship between faith and works? Can a believer live in an unrepentant sin? Why? Or why not? Why is it important for a Christian to affirm the doctrine of the Trinity? What role do good deeds, fellowship, and hospitality play in promoting church gospel ministry? Why should a church never let its identity and ministry be subverted by a political party? These are the kinds of questions that a believer are responsible to answer in order to help guard the gospel. I'm not telling you to find answers independently by your church leaders. They should equip you to answer such questions. If they aren't, you might not be the best in the best church. That's the thing about it. Although my husband is the pastor, I'm able to separate him from being the leader. But one thing about it, if he does his messages, I don't know what he's writing. He don't tell me. I don't ask. It's none of my business. When he teaches straight. And when you get a leader, which you very seldom find these days, that's going to teach you about holiness, your lifestyle, your change, and everything, you need to be listening to that leader. But if you were the leader that's sitting up there jesting and joking around and cracking jokes and all that kind of stuff and doing marionette puppet dances, then you just want to be entertained. That's what the circus is for. That's what the Eric Crown Theater is for. That's for what Tyler Perry writes his plays. And you go and you pay. Someone is getting deep into the root of your mess and telling you what you need to do to change, then you need to be under a leader that's going to help renew your mind with the scripture. All right, I'm going to keep going. Know the gospel and what the gospel requires in the church and a Christian life. Number three, help affirm gospel citizens. You as being a believer, an ordinary member of the church, are responsible for protecting the gospel and the gospel ministry by affirming and disaffirming gospel citizens. In the matter of disciple Paul, doesn't address the Christian elders, Corinthian elders, I'm sorry, but the Corinthian church itself, 1 Corinthians 5:1-13, 2 Corinthians 2:6-8. Likewise, it is your responsibility, believers, to receive and dismiss members. Jesus has given it to you for you to neglect this work. Only cultivate complacency, nominalism, and eventually theological liberalism. Of course, the job here is bigger than showing up at a members' meeting and voting on new members. It involves working to know and be known by your fellow members 7 days a week. You cannot affirm and give oversight to a people you don't, not with integrity anyhow. You don't know with integrity anyhow. That doesn't mean you're responsible to know every member of your church. We do this work collectively. But look for ways to start including more of your fellow members into regular rhythm of your life. Paul offers a useful checklist for doing this. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs, pursue, and hospitality. And you can find that in Romans 12:10-13. Number four, attend members' meetings. You are not in a member in the meeting. How are you going to know what's going on? Different churches make decisions in different ways, which is fine. But whatever venue your church uses for making the decisions to serve the gospel, what the doctrine of the gospel and the gospel, who the people of the gospel, you should be there. You can't not miss and say, well, you all should have waited until I got back. Who has time for that? Nobody knows when you're going to come back. Nobody really knows what to do with you because you really are not stable. You're hitting this. But if you don't attend the meeting, nobody's going to put their whole meeting, their whole waiting on you. That ain't going to work. Help me, Lord. I just summed that up. Disciple other church members. Being a believer and an ordinary member of the church, you're responsible for protecting the gospel and the gospel means by within your church by discipling other church members. Go to Ephesians 4:15-16. The church itself builds up in love. As we part, does it work? You have work to build up the church. When you are helping the disciples, you build your church. That's what you do. You don't just, I'm going to have a prayer meeting over here and forget about y'all. If the church doors are open for you to do prayer meeting, open up. Don't be stupid. Take that advantage of that. Okay, share the gospel with outsiders. Talk about your church with the pastor priest. Follow your leader. Authority brings responsibility. Don't be so quick to be, oh, the pastor wife, she be throwing off her message. Let me tell you something. One thing about me, I don't throw off. I tell the truth. Problem with letting nobody have it and give them with the scripture. That's how I am. So when you're dealing with being a member of a church, know that you have a responsibility to serve God and to serve him wholeheartedly, especially when you have a minister of the gospel that is feeding you. Until next time, live hope.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI.